Matthew chapter 24, verse 32. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender, putteth forth leaves, you know that summer's nigh. I was walking yesterday, came back and told Miss Renee, the road I walk behind the house, I go back to a church and back. And I was walking between a big stand of poplars, and leaves, a breeze came up and leaves filled the roadway. I could hardly even see where I was walking. And it reminded me the changing of the times. And he said, you know this. He said that when it putteth forth leaves, you know summer's nigh. And likewise, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you that this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But that day and hour knoweth no man what hour when the Lord returns. Know not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. We live in those days. For as the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage, till the day that Noah entered in the ark. Knew not till the flood came, took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch, therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would have not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. You may be seated this morning. I'd ask you now to turn with us to the book of Titus, chapter number 2. The book of Titus, right before that of 1st and 2nd Peter. And I'd like to read a text verse where I'd like to preach from this morning, found in the book of Titus, chapter number 2, verse number 11. The Bible says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness." And by the way, we still ought to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we love You today. We want to thank You for a good place we can go to church. Thank You, Lord, we still live in a country that we can assemble and proclaim the Word of God vocally. I want to pray for our nation today. God, its leadership, our country's in turmoil. God, it's in trials. It's in a terrible mess. I pray that You'd help our nation. We pray for Israel today, Your chosen people. We pray for their land, their country. God, I pray You'd open the eyes of America and let them see the need. And now, God, this morning I pray, realizing I'm a needy preacher. I can't preach without You. God, I need the Spirit of God upon this today. Would You move in the hearts of our people? Move in the hearts of me and move in the hearts of a sinner. Help us, God. Help us to preach that of what that You've laid on our heart. We'll be careful to trust You and thank You for everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. I'm interested this morning in the text verse of 13, where Paul is writing to Titus, a young preacher. And he says, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now I want to preach on this subject this morning, on I'm getting ready to leave this world. I'm getting ready to leave this world. I won't tell you why that I'm getting ready today. I'm getting ready because of the truth that I've been told. I'm glad somebody has told me the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody sent me a little text this week and said, if you want a sugar-coated sermon, go see Joel Osteen. But here we promote truth. I'm glad that I've been told the truth of the glorious, don't get quiet on me now, of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say that I'm ready to leave this world because of the truth that I've been told. Number one, there's a journey that I must take. There's a journey that I must take. In the book of Job, chapter number 1, verse 21, Job has just experienced the biggest trial in his life. God had allowed Satan to come and take everything from Job. Job pens these words and reminds me about a journey that I must take. Job said, naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave. And the Lord hath taken away. But blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Job writes again. He says in Job 14 and verse number 5, he said, seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Ladies and gentlemen, this morning, I want to declare unto you the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to let you know that God has all of our bounds established. There's a deadline drawn in the sand for me and you, and we'll not go across that deadline because there's a journey we must all take. This old body's going to lay down. And we're going to get a new body, a glorious body. And to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I say, blessed be the name of the Lord. This body is sin-laden, and we're going to lay it down. There's a journey we're all going to take. Look at you, man of God, this morning. You're going to die. You're not going to live forever. There's a journey we all are going to take. And I want to say this as a pastor, be here 21 years this Christmas. My heart has been cut. It's been broken. But thank God it's not become callous. Because I've seen some die young. Some die old, but all die and go on this journey out to meet our God. And I want to tell you the reason that I'm ready to leave this world, because of the truth that I've been told. I want to say there's a journey that I must take. Number two, there's a Jesus I must trust. In John 14, Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go away, that I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Thomas said, Lord, if you go, how shall we know the way? And Jesus said these words that need to be broadcasted throughout this country. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. I'm glad Jesus is still the doorway to heaven.
I'm glad He's still the great I Am. I'm glad He's still the Rose of Sharon. He's the Bright of the Morning Star. He's the Lily of the Valley. He's the fairest among 10,000. He restored my soul. Thank God I've trusted Jesus. I'm glad I came to Him by faith, and He saved me one glorious day. There is a journey that you must take. There is a Jesus you must trust. You'll hear many preachers have different ideas and views. It amazes me how liberal our churches have become. This is not a socialist gospel. It's a narrow gospel. The Bible said, few be there that find it. If you go to heaven, you'll go to heaven by one way. That is by grace through faith of the darling Lamb of God. You must trust Jesus as your Savior. You hear me and hear me well. You can work and do good. Your finger goes to a bone. You can give all your money to feed the poor. You can be baptized, every catfish in the pond knows you by name. But you must be born again. You must be washed in the blood of the darling Lamb of God. There must be a Jesus that you trust. The thief on the cross. There were two there that day. Jesus in the midst. I'm glad He's in our midst this morning in a special way. One thief denied Him. One trusted Him. Said, Lord, remember me when you come into Thy kingdom. And Jesus said, today shalt Thou be with me in paradise. Folks, there's a Jesus that we must trust. There's a journey we must take. But I want to say, thirdly, there's a journal that we all must tend to. In the book of Revelation, I want you to turn to chapter number 20. I want to tell you something, lost person. I want to tell you something, saved person. God's writing everything down. He's making a journal. And what He writes in that journal is under your name and my name. There's a lot of people has been confused about Revelation 20:11. A lost man will stand here, not a saved man. But I want to show you the journal that's involved this morning. The Bible said John was writing in Revelation 20:11, I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Sinner, that's a bad, bad day for you. When there's no place in heaven found for you. And He said, I saw the dead. Those that had died and were spiritually dead had never been made alive by the Spirit of God, had never been quickened by the Holy Ghost, never been made alive by the Spirit of God. The Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become anew. If any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of His, is what He said. Watch your Bible. I saw the dead, small and great. And look what they done. They didn't give excuses. They stood before God. And the books were open. A journal. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. You may think you're getting by, but God's writing it down. You may think all your enemies are getting by today, but let me tell you something. God's writing down, and He's writing names under individuals of their works and their transgressions. But I want to give us hope this morning that are saved by the grace of God. We'll not stand at the white throne judgment. We're going to stand at the Bema seat of the Lord, according to the book of Romans, and we're going to give an account whether it's been good or it's been bad. Our works will be tried as a Christian, and if they don't hold up, they'll be burned as fire, but we shall be saved, is what the Bible said. Lost person, you got a journal you're going to tend to. All the things you think nobody else knows about, there somebody's got them all wrote down. And you know something? I come in this world March 17, 1961. One August day in 1981, 20 years old, I had a journal. I trusted Christ. He washed away all my sins. I'm glad my journal's been tended to by the blood of the Lamb. What sin you talking about? I've been placed in Christ. I'm protected. I'll never have to stand to this journal about my sin. I'll stand in a journal, according to Romans, about my works, but not my sin, because my sins have been covered under the blood of the Lord. He's washed them all away. If there was one sin on that journal on my account, I couldn't go to heaven. But by the blood of Jesus, He washed my slate clean. A lot of times the devil wants to throw that slate up at me and says, Ken Bowman, remember when you did this? And the Holy Ghost in me says, forgiven. Oh, I'm glad I am forgiven. And you see, there's not only a journal I must tend to. We're not going to get by the books God's written down in. We must be saved by the grace of God. You see, there is a journey I must take, a Jesus I must trust, a journal I must tend to, but there's a judgment I must terminate. In Revelation 20, verse 12, and He said, the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works, and the sea gave up the dead that were in it, death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. They were judged, every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord if you're saved. If you die without Christ today, you'll die and go to a devil's hell. And at the great white throne judgment, when God brings everything to light, the Bible said hell will be emptied and that sinner will be cast into the lake of fire. You don't hear much of that preaching no more. But that's in your King James Bible. And you better take it just sure as a marten goes to a gourd, friend. It's Bible truth this morning. You must be saved by the sweet grace of God. I'm glad I don't have to face the journal. Oh, Lord. How wicked I've been. And I'm not giving you a license to sin this morning. I'm fixing to share a verse with you to show you that your journal has been taken care of if you're washed in the blood of the Lamb. Turn with me, if you would, over to the book of Romans before I move on. Romans 5, verse number 1. What do you think about this verse, Romans 5, verse number 1? The Bible says, rightly dividing the word of truth. Therefore, being justified by faith. You know what the word justified means? It means to be declared unguilty. Justified. I've been justified by faith, and now I have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith into this grace. You can get in the grace of Jesus this morning by faith, but you're going to have faith to be saved. Justified. Then He says this. He says in verse 6, for when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. That's amazing to me. Christ died for me and you as wicked as we were. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man would even dare to die. Now watch this, verse number 8. Here I'll back up my sermon. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. And that's the only way this morning. I'm so glad I won't stand at the white throne judgment bar of God. You see, you can't find a saved person there. That's the dead that has never been made alive by the Spirit of God. They've got a journal they must tend to, and they have a judgment that they must face. And let me tell you something, you'll not bow off God that day. We live in a system, seems like it's double standards for some people. But let me tell you something, in God's format, there are no double standards. There's one way to terminate the judgment, and that's through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Preacher, what about the sins that we commit after we're saved? The Bible says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we sin in this life, we're going to lose in this life because the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad I'm going to heaven. And when I get there, folks, I don't want to get there with my head down on the bus. I want to walk in right. You hear me? Just because we're saved don't mean you got a license to sin. There's standards we must hold to. There's a God we must face with our doings. But I sure am glad I won't be judged for my sin that have put me in hell, cast in the lake of fire. I want to ask you something. Have you trusted Jesus? That amazes me that this Bible is so clear that I can be forgiven for eternity to go to heaven and live with Christ if I'm forgiven and washed in the blood of the Lamb. You say, Brother Ken, I heard you had a bad life before. Yeah, and I'm not proud of it. I was a prodigal. But I don't know who's the meanest in a church, a prodigal or a mad big brother. I tell you one thing, I can relate to prodigals. I can relate to you that's woke up and didn't know how you got there. I can relate to you getting in trouble because I've been there. But I tell you another way I can relate to you if you've been saved. I'm glad one day Jesus found me. Wash me from all my sin. Now, Brother Mike, I don't have to face the journal and I don't have to face the judgment. The blood of Jesus washed it all clean. You say, well, why should we sing and exalt our Lord? Have you been forgiven? I remember a day that Felt McKinnon bowed right there and I said, what you need, buddy? You know what he said? I'm going to hell. Don't forget about you's going to hell. When you realize you's going to hell and you got saved, you get thankful. I'm getting ready to leave this world. I'm getting ready to leave this world because the truth I've been told. But I'm getting ready to leave this world because the times that have gotten so bold. It's amazing what's happening in America. In 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Verse number 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times or stressful times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Well, we're seeing that, aren't we? Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parent. Some of you parents need to teach your children who the boss is. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. truce breakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady and high-minded, lovers of, watch this verse, if you can't get nothing else, surely to the Lord in heaven, you'll find out that the newspapers just ain't caught this Bible yet. Lovers of pleasures. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. I'm getting ready to leave this world because the truth, I've been told. Number two, because the times that have gotten so bold. People that's bold. Verse 2, men shall be lovers of their own selves. Never seen so many self-centered society. The pride that's so bold. Boasters and proud. Let me remind you something this morning, ladies and gentlemen. What you've got, God's give you every cent. Every food you've ever partaken of, the God of heaven has blessed you. You've done nothing on yourself. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. I was thinking yesterday, Brother Mike, as I was walking, I walked by a man's house that can't use his legs in a wheelchair. And I got to thinking about how good God's been to me just to let me walk down the road. Listen to me, folks. It's preaching time. You hear me? It's preaching time. We take a lot for granted. And it ain't no time to let our heads swell up and our heart get little. Honey, let me tell you, many people in that Bible were helped till they become strong. Pride is the biggest downfall of any person, any business, or any nation. Pride. Proud. The people that are so bold. The pride that is so bold. The policies that are so bold in verse 3. Without natural affection and truce breakers. Procedures that are so bold. Pleasures that are so bold. It don't take you long. A lot of you know that I was in Disney last week. I enjoyed the good time together with family. I looked at my wife one night in a motel. I said, honey, these people down here have no inkling about God on their mind. I think you ought to be able to have a good time. Be a Christian wherever you go. This world's become such a godless concept. And somebody's got to say charge. Somebody's got to remind our children about what this Bible says. The times that are so bold. The pleasures. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. This church ought to be filled with capacity. We ought to have to build 5 wings on it. But I'm glad there's a remnant wants preaching this morning. I can tell you this. If we had a trunk or treat here Friday night, you'd pack her out. They need to keep her junk in the trunk. Somebody say amen. I've never seen the like. Spooks and goblins at a church house and people went crazy. You go to entertaining spooks and goblins, you lose the Holy Ghost. I'm all about helping kids. They want candy, go to Walmart, buy them candy. Don't turn your church to a spook house. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? Are you crazy? The truth that I've been told. The times that are so bold. Look what it says. It says, verse 5, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Oh, but we don't want to offend nobody. Well, I'm glad pigs can't talk. we'd quit eating bacon and pork chops. They get on there and they talk about, well, there's 90 a day killed with guns. What about 150 a day killed in abortion? Denying the power thereof. Oh, don't preach nothing too hard. Visitors may not come back. Visitors may want hard preaching. Man can preach right and ain't got to be mean about it. I'm just telling you, there's some standards we're going to hold in this place, and we ain't going to cross them. And it don't matter if we cardboard the new wing up, honey. If the Lord be for you, who can be against you? I'm getting ready to leave this world. Turn around and look at someone and say, I'm ready to get out too. Turn around and say, I'm ready to get out too. Brother David Clemens, he made a swipe at me on Facebook this week. I hope he's listening to this. Miss Sherry answered him, and Renee answered him and said, well, no, we're going to come down when's trunk or treat at Liberty. Renee said, come Sunday morning, you may get your trunk loaded. Yeah, man! Somebody's got to stand up and say, listen, this is what the Bible says. If you don't get saved, you die and go to hell. Your children are counting on a preacher to tell them right. I'm getting ready to leave this world of you. Had a man last night, I told Renee, he inboxed me and he said, Brother Ken, I'm doing my farewell service. Going to die soon. I sure wish that you'd come be a part with that with my pastor. A man I'd worked with many years in Birmingham, Alabama. And I got to thinking, you know what? Every one of us is going to have one of them services. Girls, I wish I could tell you that your daddy had lived a long time. I don't know. Girls, I'd like to think you'll all live a long time. I don't know. But I'm getting ready to leave this world. Because the truth I've been told. Because the times that are so bold. I'm getting ready to leave this world because the troubles that have grown old. Flesh troubles. The Bible said in Job 14, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. We all going to have troubles. Nobody here is immune to troubles. And this is what I love about our church. Wish I had longer to preach. I don't know what time it is. I'm going to look at my watch. I know some of you done looking. I've not said it, but I just want to preach a little while this morning. Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of troubles. We've all got flesh trouble. Don't think your flesh has arrived. Don't trust it no further than you can throw it. Your flesh will get you in a whole lot of trouble. Family trouble. But something what I like about our church, I love the atmosphere of our church that folks just sort of all level. It ain't no big ones, ain't no little ones, and folks will come around the altar and pray with you. And when I hurt, you hurt. When you hurt, I hurt. And that's how close we all ought to be in this ministry. This isn't this group and that group and this group. It ought not be clicks and clacks. The first click I see, honey, I'm coming right in the middle of it. Ain't no one family going to run this church. Ain't no one family going to run down this church. Not long as I'm the preacher here. We're in this thing together for the cause of Christ. Going in one direction, and I've done found out I've got flesh trouble. Every day of my life, I wake up and I find out what Paul said. There's a warfare going on in me. The world, the flesh, and the devil is my enemy. And every day of my life, I wake up on a battlefield. Somebody said they sang a song, "I want to die on the battlefield." I love what Brother Jody Harrison said, "Honey, I don't want to die on the battlefield. I want to live on the battlefield. I want to live. Carry the bloodstained banner that Jesus saves and Jesus is good. And Jesus is true and Jesus is real." We all got flesh trouble. Nearly every day of my life, I wake up with one hurt after a hurt. And I don't want to whine. I know it's part of life. But some days, it's all I can do just to take one more step. Flesh trouble. I'm glad we'll get a new body, Brother Jerry. Glorified body. Praise God, these pins won't hurt then. Family trouble. We all got family trouble. Be careful about who you talk about. It'll be at your family for long. Be careful what you say. People call me and ask me, "What do you think?" I said, "I ain't got nothing to say but this. Jesus knows it all and He'll sort it all out." Friend trouble. I want to say something right here real quick, real narrow-minded. I want to make a statement about friend trouble. Some of you today, your friends, your best friends. You'll notice this, the older in life you become, your friends will change. Your priorities change. But it's something that all friends must have in common, Brother Lee. Unless two walk together, how can they agree? God has put, listen to me. Look up here at your preacher. Everybody look up here at your preacher a minute. God's put boundaries in our lives. If we go across them boundaries, those boundaries have been for two reasons. Number one, to protect you and me. And number two is to protect others. And when you go across them bounds, don't you think that it's weird that somebody no longer wants to be with you? You've done it to yourself. Or I do it to myself. Don't blame it on nobody else. Friendships are sacred. And they must be held accountable to each other. And let me tell you something. What some of y'all don't want to hear this morning. A friend will tell you what you need to hear instead of what you want to hear. I'm getting ready to leave this world. I'm getting ready to leave this world because the truth I've been told. I'm getting ready to leave this world because the times that have gotten so bold. America don't blush no more. Some of y'all let your young'uns wear stuff that your grandma would roll over in a grave about. Feller ain't got to wear a suit and tie to our church, but I wish he'd button his shirt up and get some breeches in his legs. Amen. Shake your little Baptist head up and down. You ladies come to the altar and pray, somebody will not have to throw a quilt over you to keep you from being embarrassed. Help me now. This ain't a social club. This is the house of God. It's church. It's church. It's church. I'm not asking you to look like robots. Just asking you to be decent. You go down to Belk's and buy a dress half price, you get half a dress. Come on now. Help me. If your kids need a Bible, come see leadership. We'll buy Bibles. We'll buy clothes. That's what we need. We don't want to embarrass nobody, but we don't want to be embarrassed either. Wish some of y'all little wimpy henpecked looking something would shout amen this morning. You always want to have a voice at your house. Well, you could at church if you'd say amen. It's amazing what's happening in our country. But our lives don't have to go there. And I appreciate the mom and daddies that have a zeal to serve God, to do and to become and to lead and be role models and examples. And we don't need no FBIs nowhere. Everybody take care of their own doorstep.
Amen. I got all I can see about down at my house. All I can see about. The truth, I've been told, the times are so bold. Would you ever thought that you would have seen a Muslim mosque being built in America? Curriculum handed out in our schools? Would you ever thought that they was going to fire a football coach for having prayer on a football field? Times that are so bold, the troubles that have grown up. But I want to say this, I'm ready to go because the ticket that I now hold. 1 John 5:11. Brother Tim, you be getting us a song together, brother. 1 John 5:11. John said, this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. The ticket that I now hold. I want to say in closing, my ticket is purchased. I'm glad Jesus paid for me on the cross. I'm glad there's one ticket to glory. And I've got Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. My ticket's not only purchased, but my ticket is very precious. I guard it in my heart. Brother Tim, you ever had anybody come by and say, let me have your ticket? You say, no. It's precious to me. Is your ticket precious? The greatest day of my life is when the Holy Spirit of God introduced me to Jesus. And I accepted Him as my Savior. Have you ever trusted Jesus to be your Savior? My ticket is purchased. My ticket is precious. My ticket is promised. I have my ticket. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven. One day, Brother Mike, my ticket will be punched. I'll never forget Megan Macy's little old bitty kids. We got on a plane and we flew off. And I walked into a big old looking motel, and I walked in, and I've never seen it stuck with me, Brother Mike. He had a register, I believe it was this long, still old time. He had it open on the desk, and he said, can I help you, sir? I said, yes, I've got reservations. He said, who are you? I said, my name's Ken Bowman. He had half glasses, Brother Mike, and he pulled them down. And he took his finger and he run down that book. That's what he said. You ain't in here. Renee looked at me and she said, what are you going to do? The Holy Ghost put in my heart, he said, Ken, that's just the way so many people's going to meet God. Book will be open. But your name's not there. Now I want to ask you this as your preacher this morning. That's why I want to ask you. I've asked Brother Tim to lead us in a song just as I am. I want to ask you something. Is your name there?
Brother Ken, how can I get it there? It's one way. Faith. You've got to come to Christ and trust Him to save you. As many as received Him, to them He gave eternal life. I wonder, would you come this morning? You say, Brother Ken, I don't know a lot about church. I just know this. I'm lost and I've never been saved. I don't know of a greater day than you step out of where you're sitting this morning. Come to an old-fashioned altar and simply bow before our God and simply say, Lord, save me. Trust His Son of what He's done for you. We stand around this house this morning.